Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today, as usual. And, Jim, we documented very extensively on Thursday all the problems Hillary Clinton is having, most of it related to what appears to be government favors in exchange for donations to the Clinton Foundation. There will be more revelations. There's a new one dropping today about how they profited off the Haitian earthquake in 2010, and chances are there'll be many more as this investigation and the book eventually comes out. But the good martini today is how liberals are already fed up with trying to either defend Clinton or make any sort of explanation for it over at the National Journal, which probably leans a little to the left, but for the most part plays it down the middle. Their headline is "Democrats went all in on Hillary Clinton, and it's looking like a terrible bet." Goes to serious vulnerabilities that Clinton will be facing. Then you got Jonathan Chait, pretty far left over there at New York Magazine, talking about how this all weaves into a disastrous post-presidency for Bill Clinton. So, Jim, I don't know if these are people who always preferred Obama over Hillary and they still don't want her, or it's just getting to the point where even Democrats don't want to have to spend the next 20 months and possibly 8.5 years defending her.
Well, there are a lot of political figures who are really good at blurring their personal interests and either the party's interest or the national interest. If you're a candidate who really believes you poll best on issue X, well, then by golly, you think issue X should be the preeminent issue of our time. We should, you know, spend a lot of time talking about it and things like that. It was put to Senator John Barrasso, a Republican of Wyoming who is on the Energy Committee, like, what did we get out of this deal by giving the Russians 20% of our uranium capacity? And he said, nothing. It's really kind of an astounding decision that basically amounted to a giveaway to the Russians, to an entity controlled by Vladimir Putin. There's no, well, and we got better behavior from the Russians because of that, or they made concessions or something. So what was there? Well, there was money going to the Clintons. And that's the only incentive you can find in this entire process. So another section of that Chait piece that I think just kind of stands out very well, this is a case in which the actions of the Clintons were so obviously self-interested, they were probably at odds with the interests of the Obama presidency. Because as much as Obama wanted to be nicer with Russia and basically get Russia off the front page so he wouldn't have to deal with it, I don't think they necessarily wanted to be perceived as giving away the store or turning Foggy Bottom into a favor factory. And so Chait writes, the Obama administration wanted Hillary Clinton to use official government email. She didn't. The Obama administration also demanded that the Clinton Foundation disclose all its donors while she served as Secretary of State. It didn't comply with that request either. The Clintons' charitable initiatives were a kind of quasi-government run by themselves, which was staffed by their own loyalists and made up the rules as it went along. If you are a liberal, if you believe in all the things that liberals claim to believe in, openness in government, accountability, a government that serves the people, a government that stands for American values and things like that, then nothing Bill and Hillary are doing is what you claim to stand for. And you know, we've seen liberals and progressives excuse a hell of a lot of hypocrisy and scandals and corruption and things like that. But it may have just gotten too darn big. The National Journal piece you point to kind of also lays out like, look, the New York Times is writing about this, and there's a lot of attacking of Peter Schweitzer. Oh, you know, he's this crazy right wing. Well, the Times is going out and verifying all this stuff. The Reuters is going out and verifying all this stuff. When you have to refile your tax returns because you actually got millions of dollars and you put zero on the form, this is not some crazy right-wing conspiracy talk. There's just no plausible excuse to it. And I think that it's not quite an end of the usual suspects moment where they're dropping the coffee cup and suddenly realizing the Clintons have been corrupt all along and that Hillary was Kaiser Soze. That they are kind of recognizing that, oh my goodness, these people really are enormously selfish and enormously reckless, and they do things that are absolutely indefensible. And I think there's this shudder just went through the Democratic Party this week as they suddenly realized what they're going to have to defend for the next 18 months and then conceivably the next 10 years.
Yeah, it's a lot to take on, especially for factions of the party that don't like her very much. And Jim, it's interesting. I was thinking a little bit more about our crazy martini from yesterday with the State Department awards to the corporations. We're like, that's just kind of cheap and chintzy, and it's nowhere near as big as the uranium giveaway, which is absolutely true. But for the emerging left, the Elizabeth Warren, we hate corporate America crowd, this is definitely flying in the face of Hillary's new I'm for the little guy approach. So it'd be interesting to see how that faction of the party responds to that as well.
Listen, you'll probably never find a clearer, more glaring, or more perhaps even a more sinister example of crony capitalism than what we're seeing right here.
All right, on to the bad martini now, and this is a story that's kind of been out there for the last couple of days, but we've had other issues superseded in the bad martini. But here's the Free Beacon version of the story. The State Department would not rule out giving Iran up to $50 billion as a so-called signing bonus for agreeing to a nuclear deal later this year, according to comments made to journalists following reports that the Obama administration had formulated a plan to release tens of billions of frozen Iranian funds. Experts have said this multi-billion dollar signing bonus option, which was first reported by the Wall Street Journal, could be the largest cash infusion to a terror-backing regime in recent memory. When asked to address these reports on Monday, State Department spokeswoman Marie Harf attempted to dodge the issue, then accused reporters of getting spun up on the issue, and eventually saying she would, quote, look into it, unquote. So, Jim, it's not bad enough we're giving away the store. Now we're paying them to let us give away the store.
Yeah, you know, like, I don't like signing bonuses in the NFL, right? So giving it to the Iranians, just kind of mind-boggling and baffling. We've seen bad policies before. What's really kind of jumping out about this is how much we in the public are not allowed to know about this, right? I mean, the idea that the government, we're getting into this extremely controversial deal. The president wasn't all that convinced that the Senate had any, you know, had the authority to ratify it, that there was any role for the legislature in dealing with this. But what's really kind of galling about this is that now they're saying, like, look, you're not allowed to know about this part of the deal. Well, darn it, it's our government, right? And we're the ones who are going to be on the receiving end of an Iranian nuke if these guys decide that they're, you know, the apocalypse is upon us and it's time to bring out the 13th Imam. So, yeah, heck yeah, we've got a real interest in this. And oh, by the way, you're supposed to be working for us. So the culture of this entire administration is, look, you don't worry your pretty little head about it. We've got this. And in fact, you're not entitled to know. That information is on a – they say in the spy movies, that information is on a need-to-know basis. And you, American people, do not need to know.
On to the crazy martini now. It's a much-needed levity at the end of the week. It's always fun to watch Democrats fighting with each other. Fortunately, we already had it a little bit in the good martini. So now we turn to the bad martini. An issue that hasn't gotten a lot of attention is the president's push for trade promotion authority and trying to adopt eventually this Trans-Pacific Partnership, or otherwise known as TPP, which you will hear in this bite. This is from the Ed Show. Ed Schultz has Bernie Sanders as his guest, but you won't hear Bernie in this clip. Ed is coming out of a clip of the president of the United States criticizing MSNBC for not being with him on TPA and TPP. And here's Ed Schultz's rant against the president.
Well, Mr. President, I want you to know that I believe in what I'm doing. And if you can prove to the American people that there will not be a depression of wages, if you can prove to the American people that this will create jobs, if you want to go face to face with me, President Obama, I'm ready to go because I have the facts. Why would President Obama use the MSNBC call letters? It's been shown by Media Matters that this show has covered the right. TPP more than anybody else. So I would imagine that he's talking about the Ed Show. But the president has never done a sit down interview with Ed Schultz. And hey, you know, my life is fine. But you know what? On this deal, the president's wrong and I'm right.
Oh, so much delicious stuff there, Jim. Obviously, it's an issue that divides both parties when it comes to free trade or more protectionist attitudes. Ed Schultz just basically furious at anyone who disagrees with him. And I think we actually got to the truth that he's most upset that Obama's never come on the show.
Were you getting a bit of a WrestleMania vibe?
Yes.
I want you, Obama. You and me in the cage. Let's see how strong you are on free trade in the octagon. and you know, Ed Schultz looks like he might be a fairly effective wrestler there. He's got the bulk for it. There's something really kind of fascinating about this. Because it sounds like he says Media Matters. Am I understanding this correctly, Greg, that Media Matters is now attacking Ed Schultz for attacking the Obama administration?
Could be, or they're cheering him on for being the one to talk about it the most. I don't know that much about how Media Matters has taken on the issue.
I'd have to go look it up, but my inclination is that they are the palace guard. And so when somebody on the left, that's the thing. But by the way, also, here's the thing. If you're Ed Schultz, yeah, occasionally you will disagree with the president. You will, you know, he's, and by the way, he's always been the Midwestern working class unions. You remember on the night of the Wisconsin recall, he was the guy insisting that the decision from NBC News desk was wrong.
Yes.
And that, you know, absolutely. So we know where he's coming from, and unions clearly don't like this free trade legislation. But interesting, do you find it fascinating that he's never had Obama on his program?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, think about it. This guy has carried more water than a tanker truck, and you know, you'd think at some point invite him, right, give him something, but apparently not, and that's got to be pretty frustrating. Again, you know, always fun to watch left on left, and to see Schultz just lose it. I mean, you know, usually the next time Ed Schultz denounces somebody at NRO or one of us or some Republican or something, it is kind of reassuring. You know, this is just the way he treats everybody.
Maybe they know that if he disagrees with Obama in studio, he'll threaten to burn the place down. And that could be a secret service.
I have always kind of figured, by the way, Greg, that Ed Schultz is the sweaty, angry, shouting. He's what liberals think Rush Limbaugh is. And if you listen to Rush Limbaugh, he's not, you know, every once in a while, Rush will get really fired up. But generally, he's, you know, there's humor. There's this kind of, you know, storytelling. We begin every week by talking about our golf, what happened in the NFL. Some listeners got to grind their teeth at that. In retrospect, I almost feel like Ed Schultz seems like he's playing a character in which he now just has blown up at the president. And, you know, maybe I shouldn't use that term considering how he did once apparently threaten to burn down 30 Rock.
That's true. And probably won't get him on the show now after that little rant. So that dream's probably dying today. Jim, have a great weekend. We'll actually talk to you on Tuesday.
Yep, looking forward, Greg. See you Tuesday.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. Do tune in on Monday, though, for the next edition of the 3 Martini Lunch.